Okay, we've been discussing the Mishnah here in Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Just want to finish that today. Then connect it, if I can, with a little bit with the Inyanei Chanukah. So the last thing that we discussed was towards the, not the last part of the Mishnah, the very last part, but the middle part of the Mishnah. Have Izar b'mitzvah kalav kebechamura she'en atzei odea matan scharon shel mitzvot, so have a mechashiv hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchara, tzchara veira keneged hefseda. We discussed the different interpretations, as well as the implications of, you know, why different mefarshim don't accept the other perushim, in particular the Shita Sarambam, which is that there really is a hierarchy of lavin that is immediately discernible by virtue of the chomer ha'onesh. There's also a hierarchy of Essen, which is much more camouflaged. But if you understand the correspondent of Eros, there are, in some cases, methods to penetrate that hierarchy as well. That's the Shita Saramba. And the Rambam's Chiddush is that refraining from the negative, or refraining from the negative reflects the significance of the positive, and vice versa, something which is not at all a simple matter, and something which Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbeinu Bechai, although they accept the rest of the Rambam's interpretation of the Mishnah about there being a hierarchy of Lavin and of Essen as well, but they don't accept this final controversial piece in the Rambam. The question arises, if indeed the Rambam's interpretation is correct, which is, not only is there a hierarchy in Lavin, there's also a hierarchy in Essen, and both are to some extent discernible. So then, how do we justify the point of the Mishnah, which is have a zar b'mitzvah kala kibachamura? Why should we be as careful, as cautious when it comes to a mitzvah kala as a mitzvah chamura, when after all there really are mitzvos kalos and chamuros? Why shouldn't we give our full emphasis to the chamuros, especially since life is short and there are many demands on our time? So why wouldn't the chamuros always get our exclusive attention? So again, if the point was that we don't know the hierarchy, or we can't be sure of it, or it's complex, things can be more chamur or more significant in one respect but not in another. Some of the other distinctions that we made in earlier weeks when we were talking about the very notion of a hierarchy in mitzvos, the question of the Ava perspective, the Yira perspective, the ideological, theological component as opposed to the other aspects of Avodas Hashem. So then we understand why you have to, at the end of the day, what we're really saying is that, you know, kalos, chamuros, it's all relative. Sometimes the kalos are chamuros, and so on and so forth. But according to the Rambam's novel interpretation of this Mishnah, that isn't really true. It's almost like the Torah is intentionally camouflaging so that we won't exclusively devote ourselves to the chamuros, even though they really are chamuros. And then that just raises the important question, well, why not? What is the compelling character of the kalos if they really are kalos at that? So here I think are several possibilities, and I think each one of them, they overlap to some extent, and each one of them is very important in terms of its larger significance. Number one, I think this may be related to the Rambam's view in the end of Masechet Makos, where commenting on Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakas as Yisrael, Lefika Chirbalem Toru Mitzvos, Shenemar Hashem Chafet Zaman Sinko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. There the Rambam has a very interesting comment, I've mentioned it in the past, that is, the Rambam speaks about the idea of specializing, the idea of individuals finding their niche in Avodas Hashem. And basically, the way he interprets the Mishnah is, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Gzakas Es Yisrael, L'Fika Chivur L'Torah Mitzvos, not only that you get more reward, more positive merits on your record, because there are more opportunities to do so, but it gives you the range and the flexibility to choose and to find what is consistent with your own interests and your own personality. As the Rambam there basically is arguing that the comprehensive nature of Torah mitzvos is conducive to individual contribution. A contribution, which I say, matches both your personality, your interests, your previous experiences, etc. Now, obviously, there's still a hierarchy of obligations. We know that from this Mishnah and from the normative halacha generally. But the point is that the flexibility of, you know, making a particular mitzvah your own, specializing, has its own value, certainly in terms of Avas Hashem, and in terms of what you can bring to that particular mitzvah if you're particularly suited to it. So I think that the perspective, no one here speaks about linking these two Rambams, but I'm making the suggestion. In light of the Rambam's comment at the end of on the end of Makos, one can understand why, even though an acknowledged kalos might be a very important aspect, a very important facet of one's avodas Hashem. I think that's one issue. The second issue is the one that is reflected in the words of Rabbeinu Yonah on behalf of the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say it, but Rabbeinu Yonah says it for him. He says that the idea here is that each and every mitzvah has special transcendent quality. And even if there is a hierarchy, nonetheless, the fact is that the special opportunity provided by each and every mitzvah is compelling in its own right. Let's see if I can find the line here. The Kachomer Bistam. I don't see it at the moment, but it's here in Rabbeinu Yonah. Oh, okay. That's because I'm not looking at Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. He quotes this for the Rambam. Omar, Avol Rambam, Hiflig b'dvara, v'nosan tam l'dvar, chazak mizeh, v'amar, ena te yodea matan schorin shal mitzvos, kamahu shafilu mitzvah kala, schara gavoa ad l'mal. I think that's a second point. And that's a very inspiring idea. Just because something is a kala, even kalos are treasures, both in terms of the opportunity and the symbol of the particular mitzvah, and there's something that you simply can't miss out on. This idea that every mitzvah has a certain great potential, I think is a very crucial issue, and I think it relates to some of the sugyas that we're doing now in the regular shiur, and relates to Hanukkah as well, and I'll try to explain a little more as we go on. But for example, what we're discussing in Chulin right now is the question of Mumar L'Davar Echad, and whether a Mumar L'Davar Echad can ever be a Mumar L'Chol HaTorah Kula. In particular, a Mumar L'Hachis L'Davar Echad may even be a Min. Certainly it's the view of one day in the Gemara, in Avodah Zarah Chavav Min Beis and in Horius Yud Aleph Omid Aleph. And on the surface, that seems very extreme. After all, it's only one mitzvah from among Taryag or more. How could it be that how could anybody have the view that a Mumar L'Davar Echad would be a Mumar L'Chol HaTorah Kula? Sometimes it's hard for us to accept even the view that a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah would be a Mumar L'Chol HaTorah Kula. Again, Rav Anan didn't like it so much. And even though we pask in that way, we'll see in days to come, whether that's a din d'oraisa, is it a din d'rabbanan, is it qualified in some way? But Rav Anan's view was, Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah, it's not Kol HaTorah Kula. Shabbos b'farhesya as well. So Kal v'chomer, if we're talking about mitzvah achas, you're a mumar l'davar echad, you're a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula, how can there be such a thing? But definitely Rabbi Meir seems to hold that way in Erevin. And according to one reading of the Gemara, simple reading of Rashi, certainly one day in the Ramban, in the Gemara on Hayamid Beis here in Chulin, that there are others who hold this as well. Mumar l'davar echad is a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula. If you think it's not true on the level of mumar l'tayavon, it certainly may be true, as we say, on the level of mumar l'hachas. Now, there are other ways to explain this, certainly, but I think one way to explain it is to explain along these lines, the idea that every mitzvah has this transcendent status. And we shouldn't just view it as a single little cog in the larger works, you know, of Taryag. We should see each mitzvah as an olam in its own right. Even the kalos deserve sometimes to compete with the chamuros, not because they can, but because they themselves have this kind of elevated status and stature in their own right. And I think this is one idea in Yehoreg Val Yavor as well. Again, Chanukah is an example of one of the three Yehoreg Val Yavors. Right? We know the one of the Gimel Averos, right? About Azar Gilei Araz Shlichas Damim. And then there's the one of Befarhesia, which is related to Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. And then the third one is the one of Shas Hashmad, Eis Tzara, or Eis Gzeira. And of course, that's what Klal Yisrael encountered in the time of Chanukah, where they were forbidden to engage, to be involved in the performance of mitzvos. And that triggered, the Rambam refers to this, right, in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, echoing his remarks earlier in Parakei, Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah, where he develops the three levels of Yehoreg Val Yavor. So that idea of Shas HaShmad, where it becomes a matter of principle to see whether or not you have the loyalty to mitzvos, any particular mitzvos, we say afilu arkasa de mesana, right? And certainly mitzvah kala, which is a real mitzvah and not simply a minhag shel mitzvah, has the capacity to trigger a yehoreg val yavor. Now, there are various reasons possibly that this is true, but one possible reason is this idea, and that is that in every mitzvah there is the capacity of yehoreg val yavor. Indeed, there are some Rishonim in Avodah Zarah in particular, that Tosas Rid and the Ritva, who seem to say that even Befarhesia triggers Yehoreg Val Yavor, not just on the basis of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, because if that were to be true, then the most you could ever get if you were to violate, or the most you could be involved in, is an Isra of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. But there is some evidence that we view the violation as a violation of the mitzvah itself. In other words, even though you're in a state of pikuach nefesh, and normally you would say yavor val yehoreg, because it isn't one of the gimel averos, let's say, or let's say according to the view of Rabbi Shmuel, who felt that even in Avodah Zarah, we don't say yehoreg val yavor, right, unless it's b'farhesia or b'shas hashmad. So what happens if you don't meet the challenge of farhesia or shas hashmad? So presumably you should just violate Kiddush Hashem or Kiddush Hashem, which is the view of many Rishonim. But there are some, the Ritva, Tosas Rid, mentioned before, who seem to indicate that Farhesia or and Shas HaShmad can trigger Avodah Zarah for Rabbi Shmuel, or the actual Avera, whatever it is, the Avera Kala and its Iser, which seems to mean that there are circumstances under which, that's when there's an obligation to show your commitment and to live up to it, and you don't, so then it's the mitzvah itself that generates the chiyuv of Yehoreg Val Yavor, not just the implication of Chilul Hashem or lack of Kiddush Hashem that results from it. And that's, if that's true, and I personally think that is a key to understanding Shitas HaRambam, but not for now, but if you look at Rambam Parakei Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah, there are conflicting signals in the Rambam about this question. In general, Gimel Averos in particular, of Yehoreg Val Yavor. But I think that it's possible, at least, that according to the Rambam, certainly according to some of the other Rishonim, every mitzvah has the potential to be a testing ground, you know, for one's commitment. And not just because it's part of the generic taryag, and therefore tests your loyalty to the Ribono Shel Olam, which triggers Yehoreg Val Yavor, but because intrinsically that mitzvah has that capacity to be this testing ground because of its own intrinsic value. Just that in most cases, what we say is you're not really choosing to violate the mitzvah and thereby, you know, implying that it doesn't have the kind of value, you know, that would justify Yehoreg Val Yavor. Rather, you're just living up to a different value, you know, like Reb Chaim was purported to have said, you know, about, you know, Pikuach Nefesh on Yom Kippur, you know, I'm not a Mekel on Yom Kippur, I'm a Machmir, you know, on Pikuach Nefesh. So I think that one could make the argument that generally when it comes to these issues, we say Yavor Val Yehoreg, according to the perspective I'm trying to develop right now, not because the intrinsic Chomer HaMitzvah doesn't have the capacity to demand of us Yehoreg Val Yavor, but because normally pikuach nefesh overrides. But where pikuach nefesh no longer overrides, is there that koach, that, you know, vast potential, such that turning your back on the mitzvah is itself a yeharig v'yavar? Again, I don't think this is the mainstream or most popular view in the Rishonim by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it can be demonstrated that it applies according to some. So then any mitzvah, even a mitzvah kala, maybe has this potential. And that, I think, is very consistent with a certain perspective in Mumar L'davar Echad Mumar L'kala Tzara Kula, because then it's seen in that light as a kind of principled, negative principled stance. And I think in light of that, we can understand that every kala, like in light of the Rabbeinu Yonah's formulation in the name of the Rambam, even as a kala, has this vast spiritual potential, could be understood in this way. The third perspective is the one that Rabbeinu Yonah offers for himself, which I think is closely connected, but is different from what we just said. The third one Rabbeinu Yonah refers to is the idea of shleimus. It seems like Rabbeinu Yonah is arguing that even if the kala, the mitzvah kala in its own right, didn't have the capacity to challenge even the chamuros, you just can't pass up the opportunity even for the lesser kala because it is so significant, so important. But the idea of shleimus, the idea of the totality of one's commitment, the comprehensiveness of the system of halacha, that is the compelling factor here. This is kala in its own right. The chamura would win out every time. But in addition to the individual pieces, there is the perspective of a total commitment to Torah. And that total commitment is a theme in its own right. This, of course, is something that has very, very strong roots. The fact that symbolically Chazal connect Taryag Mitzvos with Ramach Barim and Shasa Gidim, we said this in the past, implies that everything has to work together, right? The heart and the brain, obviously are more important than other organs in the body, but that doesn't mean that you're going to neglect even the most seemingly ancillary part of the guf. Because to be a well-oiled and efficient and productive machine, right, everything has to work in tandem. There has to be a certain dynamic that includes everything. So you wouldn't say, because the heart and the brain and whatever else, the liver and the kidneys, because they're the most crucial of the organs, so we only nourish them. No one would say such a thing, and we neglect everything else. Because in the end, the total organism is going to suffer if you take this compartmentalized approach to health. And the same is true to mental health, and the same is true for Avodas Hashem, for spiritual health. So basically what we're saying is that the totality is a theme in its own right. And that's, I think, what Rabbeinu Yonah is getting at when he says, indeed, according to the Rambam, let's say, and he partially agrees, there are kalos and there are chamuros. But to neglect kalos would be to take away from this idea of shleimus. And I think that's a very, very important ingredient. The Aseres HaDibros, according to some Rishonim, encapsulate Kol HaTorah Kula. So there's the Aseres HaDibros, which are principles, and it's clear that every one of them is a foundational aspect of Yahadus, right? However you understand the grouping, but beginning with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, till the end, Lo Sachmod, Lo Sisave, they represent a wide range, but each one of them represents like a very important principle and area of halacha. But it's symbolically significant that Rav Sadia Gaon and Ramban, Rashi in his own way, felt that all Taryag Mitzvos could be extracted from the ten. And it's the question is, what's really the point of that? Are the 10 basic principles the ones that are explicated, or are they just a representative of the Taryag? But the answer probably is that they're both. It's again this dialectic of the chamuros, right? There are things that are, it's important to know what the hierarchy is, and it's important to pay attention to the hierarchy. But at the same time, it's important to realize that there's a concept of shleimus, and that there is also room, not just room, but there's indispensable role for the kalos as well as the kamuros. The kamuros are enhanced by the presence of the kalos. The kalos have a value in their own right, and the totality of commitment to Torah, the idea of shleimus, is something which transcends both of those themes. We've spoken in the past the idea of roi lahoros b'chol haTorah kula, the idea of the interconnectedness of everything, despite the fact that we understand that there are different realms in Torah and they treated differently in some cases too, right? We pass through like Rav in one area of halacha and Shmuel in another, all sorts of distinctions that we make between the different areas of Torah, however you want to, whether it's Sichlios and Shimios or Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Lakavero, or it's the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, however we break things up, we understand that there's a certain specialization and that each topic, each broader theme has its own rules, its own regulations. And we say Torah Megillah and Megillah Nitna. Torah is given of many pieces. But at the same time, we also say Torah Chasumahi. And we understand Bein Dam L'Dam, Bein Din L'Din, Bein Nega L'Naga, that there is an interconnectedness across of the disciplines too. That's part of the Shleimus of Torah. And that's why it's very important to focus and to specialize and to build things up piece by piece and not to dilute by trying to take everything in at the same time. But at the same time, to develop that perspective where everything is linked and everything is connected one to the other. So in that sense, the kalos play a very important role. So even if you know 100%, these are the chamuros and these are the kalos, and we only have a certain amount of time. So of course, your emphasis is going to reflect that recognition of that hierarchy, but not to the exclusion of the kalos, just, you know, to put them in proper balance. But to ignore them would be to be losing out on these three or four important perspectives. And I think that's a very crucial issue. This, of course, becomes, I think, very important for the continuation of the Mishnah. The next Mishnah, which we'll hopefully pick up next time we meet, is Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher, Rabbi Yudah Nasi Omer, Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, Shigia Shnei Mashkachas Avon, V'chol Torah She'eni Mamalacha, Sofa B'teila V'Gawreres Avon. So this idea that Torah has to be combined with Derech Eretz, and that there's a role for Malacha as well, I think is also part of this notion that Torah is a comprehensive corpus, and that it's a complex and an interconnected system. Sometimes, you know, Derech Eretz may not qualify as being equal to Torah. It depends how you interpret it, and that's one of the issues we'll be discussing. Malacha as well. But Torah im Malacha and Torah im Derech Eretz is more conducive to this idea of Shleimus, to this idea that in addition to focusing on individual obligations, right, there is a kind of a more total, larger picture, and to do that, sometimes you need to focus on things whose connection to Torah is sometimes clearly more peripheral, in some cases maybe even mysterious. And this obviously has much to do with different definitions of Derech Eretz and Malacha, and broader involvement in the world, and secular studies, and Torah Mada, and issues of that sort as well. I have a lot to do with not ignoring the kalos and expanding the ambition of Torah, all again within a certain discipline, cognizant of the hierarchy, but at the same time not ignoring the kalos, not ignoring the kalos either. I think there's one other aspect of kalos that I wanted to mention, and I'll just go back to Hanukkah for just a minute. The Mishnah in Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis, also speaks about kalos. And Rabbeinu Yonah certainly connects them. Ben Azay Omer, this is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis, have a ratz le mitzvah kala ki bechamura. you should run to a mitzvah kala as you do to a mitzvah chamura. Ubareach min aveira. She mitzvah goreres mitzvah, v'aveira goreres aveira. She schar mitzvah mitzvah, uschar aveira aveira. Another famous Mishnah. Okay. So the Rambam actually has an interesting comment here. The Rambam didn't think that there was any link between the Mishnah and Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, and Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis, but he did say one thing which I thought is very interesting. The Rambam thinks that this Mishnah is significant for the concept of Zrizos. And the, again, very rational Rambam waxes eloquent about the concept of Zrizos here. He says, Kvar biyarnu pirzeh the Perek Yud Misanhedrin, who kvar hi'iru chachamim aleim ha'shalom al chidush nifla batorah, yesh bo ziruz al maisa ha'mitzvos. Hu amaro, and then he quotes the psukim, Oz yavdu Moshe shalosh arim be'evar hayardein, biyadua she ein mo'ilos shaliyah din ari miklat ad sheyuvdalu gimlo acheres sheberetz Yisrael. Again, with what Chazal point out, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu began to designate ari miklat even though they would not be effective for a long time to come. So the Rambam says this is a, you know, extraordinary expression of the concept of Zrizus, and that's what this Mishnah is all about. Even if you can't fulfill the mitzvah, and certainly if you can, the idea of, you know, mitzvah bal yadcha al tach mitzena, the idea of mitzvos as opportunities, and that a person's enthusiasm, that the way he relates to mitzvos, is, in addition to his performance of them, an important element. This is something that the Rambam thinks is the topic of this Mishnah, Perek Daled, Mishnah Beis, but I just think it's remarkable that he calls it a Chidush Nifla Shebetorah, even though it's a relatively ancillary idea, namely Mitzvah Bal Yodcha Al Tach Mitzena, the idea of Zrizus. The Rambam understood that the Zrizus reflects an attitude which is crucial in capitalizing on Ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos of Es Yisrael. However, Ben Yonah sees it as connected to our Mishnah and says the following. It says two things. Number one, it's connected to our Mishnah. Kvar omru tam bazeh, the perek beis, she'ein atayodea matan scharan shel mitzvos. The ata, but then he says, Ben Azai added something very important. Ata Ben Azai hosif tam acher, v'amar heve rotz le mitzvah kala ubareach min aveira. She mitzvah goreris mitzvah, mikoach hateva ki huzeh. Ki basos ha'adam mitzvah ketana pam achat, hu miskarev el Hashem, hu margal usrucho la'avodaso, v'nikla be'enav lasos mitzvah acheres, sheyesh bo torach kenegen arishona. O yosur ma'at, v'bnei shakvar hurgal tivo le'melechas ha'mitzvah. V'chi yasa shniya le'shlishi, u'shlishi al-revi, Af kitiel of the Torah harbe min arishonos yasena mehera ki kvar hergel sholet alav harbe ad ki yishlot alav ad maod v'yasa kol mitzvos kulon v'avera goreres avera. In the same way, gam zemin ateva achar she'asa avera achas v'nisrachek me'avodas Hashem ki tov liyodo avera acheres af ki ena yetzer misavei leh kemarishona yasena ki rucho alul el ha'yetzer v'tukaf alav. Vim ein misava gedola, b'davrahu achiyase kol averos kitivo murgo lasos kol tevas Hashem ha'shesane. That's how he explains schar mitzvah mitzvah, schar avera avera. So basically, what the Ben Yonah is saying is that in some respects, having rots limits mitzvah kala can be an opening, an opportunity. They can be a method or a mechanism that you can use in order to develop a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and particularly through the medium of mitzvahs. But the way he describes it is very beautiful. Number one, he makes it perfectly clear, Rabbeinu Bechai in this Mishnah as well, that mitzvah goreres mitzvah, avera goreres avera, is not an issue of schar va'onesh. But it has to do with what he calls a kind of natural spiritual inclination or development of an inclination towards one or the other. Basically, what he's saying is that the act of performing a mitzvah is an act of avodas Hashem, which has its own momentum. It may be invisible, right, but it's no less real because of that. And that's why sometimes having rutz the mitzvah kala opens up the door to make the mitzvahs chamuros more easily accomplished. And the same is true in the other direction. In other words, the Rabbeinu Yonah is describing a kind of, honing a kind of spiritual personality, which the role of momentum is very, very crucial and very important. Basically, he's making very concrete the idea that the performance of an Avera is an act of richuk me'ashem, say mechitza ha-mavdeles, which is the way Chazal speak of it in other contexts, a mechitza ha-mavdeles ben adam liboro, and the, of course, mitzvah, goreris mitzvah, in the opposite direction. And that's why something starting with the kalos is really the best methodology to achieving great results in the chamura. So you have to hone your spiritual personality. There's a certain momentum in spiritual life. And I think what he's saying is very, very insightful, and I think it's a very inspiring idea as well. And again, it relates to the topics that we've been doing in Chulin. Rava's position was that mumar l'teyavon is of limited negative significance. After all, he's an individual who's beset by his yetzer hara, he's overcome. That's what we've been discussing, whether or not one can, narrow the significance of that breach and that flaw. Say, well, his passions, got the best of him, or he has a weakness, for this and that. But he's a good fellow, he's a kosher and a yashar and everything else. We should limit as much as possible. He's the kind of person who's shavak isura whenever there is the access to hetero. But as we saw, even for Rabba, we're not sure whether that's completely true. And for Abaya, it's certainly not the case. Abaya said, kibin de dosh, dosh. And again, we were discussing what that means for Abaya, and we'll discuss it more, I guess, tomorrow. But at minimum, what Abaya is saying is that there's a momentum in the performance of Averos. There's a momentum in the performance of mitzvos. And it's true with respect to Oso Hadavar. In other words, it starts off with your weakness, but if you give into it, it's Nasalo Keheter. You lose a certain sense of Yira, and you're essentially tarnished by, or the mitzvah is tarnished by your flaw, by your having given in. You can't go back and you can't limit that damage. You have to realize that there are consequences, and that these consequences don't end simply with the whatever it is that motivated you, or even necessarily what you did. I think this too is part of the story of Mumar L'davar Echad Hava Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula, and certainly in the case of Mumar L'Hachis being the equivalent of Ka'ovid Avodah Zarah according to some Rishonim. Before we discussed it in terms of the potential in each and every mitzvah, even the kalos, to be monumental, to deserve a response of Yehoreg Valyavar in one direction, and in the other direction, to be to be the basis for Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula. I would just add, in Geirus, you can't leave out a single mitzvah either. But in addition to that, it's, as we said before, it's also the notion of Shleimus, the interrelatedness of Kol HaTorah Kula, is also the reason why Mumar L'davar Echad may be a Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula, and why every single mitzvah is part of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. But the third reason is because of an expansion of Abaya's Kivin D'dosh, Dosh, or Avera Goreres Avera. As you may think that your flaw is limited to one particular area, but if the areas are interconnected, then just as for Abaya, within the performance itself, what you think is Teyavon starts off as Teyavon, but ends up breaking down, the mystique of the mitzvah, and breaks down the relationship between man and God even more so. And the result is that it doesn't stay where it began. The momentum is a powerful force. And this is true not only within a particular mitzvah, but it's true across mitzvos as well. For that reason, too, you have to be careful that a mumar l'davar echad doesn't really have the implication of being a mumar l'chol hadvarim. And I think this is a very important principle, and it's something that, you know, we should think very much about as we try to cultivate good attitudes towards performing mitzvos and, you know, creating siyagim and barriers, obviously, to being nechshal in violating. The Ruach HaChaim, Rav Chaim Yevolozhin, in his Perush on Avos, says that kalos has two opposite meanings in this context. One is referring to the method of how you perform mitzvahs. Says have a zayr be mitzvah kala kibachamura may mean that even if you perform a mitzvah biderech kala, which for him means, and this is of course a major leitmotif in Rav Chaim's thought, the theme of shelo lishma. Even if a person is involved in a mitzvah shelo lishma, that's the kala. Nonetheless, one should be zayr. Don't discount or downplay the significance of that. Again, Reb Chaim Mivolozhin was the, you know, he wrote the Sefer, Torah Lishma. He had a keen appreciation for the difference between Lishma and Shelo Lishma. But what he's telling us is that the Mishnah wants you to understand that Mito Shelo Lishma, Ba Lishma. And I think this too has to do with the momentum that we spoke of before. This idea of Hevei Rotz, the mitzvah kala, the way Rabbi Yonah understands it, shischar mitzvah mitzvah, schar aveira aveira. Even if your motivation isn't maximal, right, there is a certain momentum, there is a result of avodas Hashem and the deepening of the relationship and a fine-tuning and a honing of one's spiritual personality that results simply from being involved or engaging in a ma'aseh mitzvah, that even shelo lishma, mito shelo lishma, ba lishma. But at the same time, he notes that that hevizor b'mitzvah kala refers also to a tochen of kala, as we've been discussing mostly in our interpretation of the Mishnah. And what basically the idea is that sometimes it's the kalos which really crystallize, you know, where motivation and sincerity, you know, can play an even greater role. Sometimes when you're involved in the mitzvah chamura, you know, it's hard to discern whether or not you're doing it because, you know, of avas Hashem, or more because of yiras Hashem. After all, there's a lot at stake, so you're not going to take a chance. You know, these are the ones that you're going to pay attention to. It's in the mitzvahs kalos sometimes that the sincerity and the motivation with no ulterior interest or agenda, you know, comes through more clearly. So in both of these opposite senses, kala as a method is not something to be downplayed, but at the same time, kala as a content sometimes has the, you know, rare opportunity of letting sincerity and motivation shine through even more clearly. And finally, he concludes that it's also possible to read the Mishnah, Hevizor b'mitzvah kala kibachamura, refers to the question of the relationship between Talmud Torah and other mitzvos. And Medrash Shmuel says this even more clearly. It's one day in the Medrash Shmuel that says that the only time it's appropriate to speak about chamuros is when it comes to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah keneged kula. And what we're being told is, however, the mitzvah she'yechshar lasos, and this Reb Chaim Mivolozhin says as well, the mitzvah she'yechshar lasos aydei acherim, the Gemara Marid Katan and the Chagiga, mitzvah she'yechshar lasos aydei acherim, yakara hi mipnim, mi she'nichnas lifnai v'lifnim, but mitzvah she'yechshar lasos aydei acherim, you're supposed to drop the Talmud Torah to perform the mitzvah as well. Again, how could that be if Talmud Torah is the only chomor, or it's at least more chomor than other things? Again, going back to this theme of shlemus and this idea of balance, the larger agenda of Talmud Torah. So let me just say one word about Hanukkah. I was going to speak more, but my time's pretty much up. Very much the story of Hanukkah, I think, is a story of, and even more so than Purim in this respect, of the role and potential of single ma'isa mitzvahs. And again, because it was the issue of Shas Hashmad, And I think there are different interpretations of Sha'as HaShemad, each of which is particularly relevant to the story of Chanukah, but we're not going to get into that now, but we'll just focus on one. And that is this idea that every mitzvah has the potential, has this high potential for Avodas Hashem, and therefore, in theory, can generate a response of Yaharig Vayabor when fidelity or loyalty to that mitzvah becomes a matter of principle or testing, as opposed to, well, incidentally, you know, in the hierarchy of things, pikuach nefesh, you know, comes first. It becomes a question of, well, do you think, on some level, do you acknowledge that this mitzvah has the potential, the spiritual potential, to justify a harik v'yavor? So then it does. Moreover, not just a particular mitzvah, any mitzvah kala, afilo arkasa demesana, but especially the idea is that b'shas hashmad, b'shas gzeira, especially in a case like the Chanukah story, Shas HaGzeira, it wasn't a particular mitzvah only that was under attack, it was the totality of mitzvahs. And the point here is that the response of Yavar v'al Yehareg might have been a justified one from a certain point of view, because we're not necessarily talking about the Gimel Chamuros. Pikuach Nefesh is a value, you know, much sanctified in the world of Halacha. So in theory, Klal Yisrael could have gone on living a kind of spiritually mediocre life, but one justified on the basis of Sakanas Nefashos. But the din of Sha'as HaShemad, and as it's applied to Chanukah very dramatically, doesn't allow for that. Because in the final analysis, when the test is, or when the agenda clearly is assessing that potential, when the opportunities to express, you know, the theory of commitment are all taken away, and nothing is left. Never mind, there isn't shlemos. There's basically no opportunity to concretely express avodas Hashem through mitzvos. So then, basically, you turn into a yoharig v'yabor situation. And in many respects, that was the story of Chanukah. In that sense, much different than the story of Purim. I think for that reason, not only do we emphasize, you know, what the Gzeros were and how they attacked the totality of mitzvos, and especially the Ikar mitzvos, but I think for that reason we focus very much on the performance of a particular Maisa mitzvah in the aftermath and as a result. Again, everybody asks the question, you know, what was so unique and special about the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah? After all, maybe they didn't even need it. Pnei Yeshua's famous question, you know, Tumah Hotru B'Tzibur, you know, maybe they could have gotten along with using the shemen, which was tameh in the mikdash. And there are all sorts of answers that are given to that question. I think that many of them are very valid, not only one. But I think one of the points may have been that what they were really fighting for was a life in which the performance of mitzvos was going to be returned to the center of national life. Basically, what they're saying was it was worth fighting this battle because Sha'as HaShemad, a life just of empty theological affirmation without the opportunity to really implement Avodas Hashem concretely through Tarieg mitzvos, that's no life. The quality of that life is not worth living for. And therefore, the takana of Neiros Chanukah, the need for a nes, and the way that we celebrate that nes, focuses very much on the role of Maisa Mitzvah. Again, it's fascinating. The Gemara says, you know, you make brachos on Neiros Chanukah, and lists all the brachos, and the first one is Asher Kedushan Tosav V'Tzivanu Lahadik Neir Shel Chanukah. And the Gemara says, V'heichan Tzivanu? Like, how can you say V'Tzivanu on a Dindra Abanan? And they, of course, quote Elo Sasur and Shalavichav Yagedcha. For some reason, the Rambam, that's a topic in its own right, when he quotes this halacha, quotes it about Hallel and not about Ner Chanukah in Hukos Chanukah. But the Gemara quotes it about Chanukah. And it's just interesting. Is that the only or the first mitzvah Drabanan where this is encountered? I don't know the answer, but I just think it's maybe ironic or maybe not, that they were metakein a very prominent mitzvah drabanan, which Chazal tell us v'tzivanu has the status of a real tzivui in a mitzvah, dafka in the aftermath of the rebellion, to restore the potential to do mitzvos, v'tzivanu. And I think the reason that we're so makbid, you know, to do Chanukah with the best hidurim, more than Zakei Livan Vehu, a topic in its own right, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, and so on, is precisely, again, because it's a celebration of the concept of Maisa Mitzvos. It's this idea of Heichan Vitzivanu, this idea of even the Rabbanan could be Marbe and Mosif Mitzvos, and even though it's only Rabbanan, we treat it in some respects as being more precious than Doraisa. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Sneiros Chanukah Chavivahi Ad Ma'od. Right, and it's a form of halal and hodah that we associate with this particular mitzvah. I think it's because it's the concept of mitzvos in the national and individual life of Jews that is at root of all of this. And that's why I think the dinim of chashad are different in mitzvos and the Erech Chanukah than anywhere else. You know, if you're walking in the street and, you know, the guy has two corners to his house, he has to put up an Erech Chanukah in each one, lest someone should think that he's not machmir or makpid in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And it's hard to know whether these rules are consistent with the universal rule of mitzvos. It seems like a lot of them, if he's standing, walking and standing, people might think he's interested in the Ner for its own right and not as part of the Ner mitzvah. It seems that it has to be discernible to all. It should be unequivocally obvious that when you light Neros Chanukah, that you're doing it only L'shem mitzvah, that it's not just, you know, for the light or anything else. I think that's because this is all a response to an unacceptable quality of life, a life in which mitzvahs were taken away. And it is one of the kalos, it's a mitzvah d'rabanan, but it's a great example of hevei rotz l'mitzvah kala, of hevei zayir the mitzvah kala, ein ata yodea matan scharan shel mitzvahs. So, as we move towards Chanukah is tomorrow night, so we'll still have opportunity, but I think those are some of the